In November last year, scientists from the European Space Agency achieved the first ever landing of a probe on a comet when Philae touched down on the surface of 67P Churyumov Gerasimenko.
You love saying that, Chris. This week, the journal Science are publishing seven key papers detailing the discoveries made by Philae on the surface of this comet. It's more than 4.5 billion years old, and it's assembled from the same stuff that spawned our planet.
Earlier this week, I spoke to two of the mission scientists about the results. Up first, Andrew Coates from UCL's Mullard Space Science Laboratory.
So one of these papers is actually talking about the strength of the comet, and it was a hard surface, but underneath a much softer surface, which seems to be stuff which has come out in the cometary eruptions which are going on all the time to produce the cometary coma and the tail and everything.
Right, so just sort of summarising that then, what we've learned is that the surface is extremely hard, like an iced cake, and it's a softer, sort of meringue-y, stodgier stuff inside.
Yeah, well, yes, it's softer inside, but on the surface, you know, it's very hard. Now, I mean, some of this is a big surprise. You know, it's a surprise that it was so hard, but we've known about cometary crusts since the time of Comet Halley, actually, when we had the Giotto spacecraft went past Comet Halley. So one of its big discoveries was the fact that comets are dark, there's jet activity, but there's also this crust. So every time a comet goes around the sun, it's sort of roasted by sunlight and produces lots of volatile material, the water and so on from underneath the surface, which moves away, leaving this crust. So now we've been able to sort of taste and feel the crust to see how hard it is.
As well as feeling the surface, Philae has been sniffing it too, although not in the way the mission team had planned. When it landed, the probe bounced several times before it came to rest, leaving it sitting on its side and concealed under a cliff. Because of that, the drill that the Open University's Geraint Morgan and his colleagues were going to use to sample the chemistry of the comet was out of action. But all was not lost.
What we ended up having is samples coming in through our exhaust pipe. The way we vent our mass spectrometer system is through an external pipe, and we believe that what happened was when we hit the comet, it threw up a big dust cloud, and we ended up basically analysing that kind of dusty cloud that was generated from the impact. And so we were able to get gas into the mass spectrometer that way, and that's what we call it now a sniff or scratch and sniff mode.
And what did your scratch and sniff show?
What we found was is that, as expected, the primary components of a comet are water. You also have carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide, but you actually have a lot of organic compounds present as well. And we believe this is because the idea was comets would be kind of a mix of black and white, basically. But we now think the comet is actually very, very dark. We know that from albedo measurements of the surface. It's a very dark, dark surface. The probability is that you get photochemistry happening, which then converts water and carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide into a polymeric compound. So it's a long chain of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen molecules. And that's what forms the kind of crust on the outside of the actual comet. And other measurements have suggested that this is, you know, several centimetres deep. But underneath, you then have the ice and the gases. And those are what then form the tail of the comet.
Chemically, what are the implications of what you found? Could they be delivering important organic compounds to nascent planets like the early Earth?
The simple answer is yes. And, you know, what surprised us was is how diverse and complex the organic compounds were. And, you know, you've obviously got a lot of chemistry going on there, which means that you can build up quite complex molecules. The one thing that was a little bit surprising was that we didn't find very much nitrogen. So, of course, if you want to form amino acids and things like that, then you need the nitrogen as well as the carboxylic group.
What is coming next then?
Well, the Rosetta mission itself continues well into next year. The orbiter craft will obviously go through perihelion and will measure, look at what happens to the comet as it gets closer and closer to the sun and then comes away from the sun. In terms of the Philae lander, unfortunately, we've not had communications, I think, for just over 2 weeks now. The difficulty with the lander is that because we believe we're under a kind of cliff, it's getting the antenna in the right place for a long enough telecommunications, and trading off that with the risk of that potential damage to the orbiter craft if we try and fly too close. So as it stands now, the orbiter is now concentrating on orbiter science, but it will continue to look for the lander. And if it can, it will pinpoint the lander and try and communicate with it and continue activity. But, you know, some of the best brains in Europe are working on this, and I'm sure they will come to a conclusion fairly soon.
And let's hope it's a good one. Geraint Morgan, and before him, Andrew Coates.
Illuminating stuff. And speaking of which,